Evening. Shavua Tov. Baruch Hashem, with Hashem's help. First, I want to thank Mr. Nijad and the Kolbe restaurant for donating the food tonight and all the great, wonderful people who promoted this evening. Thank you very much. May Hashem pay the reward, for sure He will. And this is my last lecture for the year. Tomorrow it's Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of a new year. And we will do tonight a very interesting lecture. Before I start the lecture, I want to make one announcement. As you can see, on outside there's a table with many CDs and DVDs. It's all free of charge. You can take as many as you want, give others. This is the first time I'm giving my new film, which I just made. This is the first batch we give out. It's called Life After Death. Scientific proofs that the life, the real life, begins in a time of death. It's very, very amazing film. You don't want to miss it. It's right there outside. If it won't be enough, I bought many hundreds of CDs and DVDs. If there won't be enough, everyone can go into my website, divineinformation.com, and you can order as many CDs as you want for a cost price of $1 each. It's all made for distribution. Baruch Hashem, we give many, many thousands of CDs every month, courtesy of good people, to all over the world. So tonight, I'm going to mix maybe two or three different lectures, because we don't have that much time. We're starting very late, Motzei Shabbat. But the main lecture that will start is Torah and Science. And plus, towards the end, I will give some words of encouragement, because after all, tomorrow, it's a very, very special day. And then I'll give time for questions in the end. Questions in any topic, not necessarily to what we speak tonight. Any topic, any questions you have, feel free to ask. This lecture, as I say, it's called Torah and Science. I've been speaking for about 18 years by now, almost every night. One or two lectures, like I said, all over, in here, in Canada, Europe, Israel, in Hebrew and in English. And I found, you know, experience is the best thing to know if you're right or wrong. From my experience, I met so many thousands of Jews and also non-Jews, and I found something mutual to all people in the world. The people that are keeping their religion is people who knows a little bit about what God wants from us. The people who do not keep their religion, the laws of the Torah, it's not bad people. It's not people that evil or not nice or not polite or not generous. Not good people and bad people you have everywhere. The people who do not keep the Torah, from my experience, believe it or not, is people that may know many things in life. Computer, medicine, politics, business. They know so much. One thing they don't know. They never learn the book of God one time in their life, from the beginning to the end, in the most simple way. As I told you, for 18 years, if you go into my website, you see more than 1,000 lectures. You can search through all of them. I ask this question hundreds of times. Everywhere I go, to different audiences all over the world, I ask, anybody here that criticizes the Torah or don't believe in the Torah, or don't believe in a Talmud, in a Gemara, in a Mishnah, in a Halacha, claim that the rabbis made it up, or they added things to the Torah. Anyone here read the book of God one time in his life, from the beginning to the end, word by word, and understand the simple meaning of the Torah? Not one time. I found one person in 18 years, from all the people who speak against the Torah nonstop, that read the Torah once in their life. Why do I tell you this? Because I promise you, take my word for that, that if anyone will take the Torah in his own language, English, Persian, Hebrew, Russian, doesn't matter, same words, and read from the beginning to the end, he will never need this lecture. He will never need proofs that the Torah is divine. Every normal human being doesn't even need to read the whole Torah. Just read the first chapter, Bereshit, Genesis, the creation of the world, and go to the last book, there's five books of Moses. Deuteronomy, Sefer Dvarim, just read the book of Dvarim, and you know right away, no human being was able to write such a book. Nobody. No person would have any incentive to create such a book. I'm going to prove some of what I say. Plus, outside, this lecture usually takes 4 hours. We have to do it an hour and so now. So obviously, I'm cutting 70% of the lecture out. But later, you can go outside and take the DVD, Torah and Science, and I promise you, every Jew, or every Goy, every anti-religion person that would watch this DVD will never make a beep against the Torah. If you keep the Torah or not, everyone has a free choice. Nobody puts a gun to your head. You choose what to do. But at least nobody will speak ever against the Torah or the Gemara, because everyone would know 1,000,000% that every word in the Mishnah, every word, everything is divine inspiration, divine information. So the rule is, today we have more than 80,000 religions and cults in the world. More than 80,000. Before the Torah was given to the Jews, there were only cults in the world. People worship idols, stars, animals, all kinds of things. Once Judaism came to the world, the Jews received the Torah in Mount Sinai 3,324 years ago. The world will never be the same from that moment on. This is the first and last time in history that a large group of people, more than 3 million, heard the voice of the creator of the world for the first and last time in history. It happened a few times to individuals, such as Adam, Abraham, but it never happened to a large group of people. Only one time, millions of people heard the voice of God, but they didn't hear a long conversation with God. Only two sentences, that's it. The first two commandments, the creator of the world came down on Mount Sinai. Soon we're going to see if it happened or not. And he gave the Ten Commandments, the written Torah, the oral Torah. There's more room here for those who are standing out there. There's more room here, right here. There's some more chairs here. So for the first and last time, the creator of the world spoke, and he only said the first two commandments. When he was about to say the third commandment, the Jewish people could not take the event. They couldn't tolerate. They got very scared from the voice of God. And they say to Moshe, please, do us a favor. Go to this God. Go to the mountain. Bring whatever he wants us to do. Whatever he's going to say, we're going to do. But we cannot hear his voice anymore. And Moshe begged them and said, no, don't worry. He's not here to harm you. He's only testing you to see if you follow him or not after he took you out of Egypt. And they refused to hear the voice of God, as you can read in Parashat Yitro. Nobody, not one person, was able to take this event. Everyone started to scream and cry and said, we can't. The world was shaking, fire all over, smoke, and a huge voice came from heaven. And that's the first time in history all the people in the world realized the Jews are the chosen people. I meet many Christians and even some Muslims. I get letters from all over the world. There's not one day I don't get letters from Muslims and hundreds of letters from Christians. One mutual thing is, every person who knows the Torah is divine know right away that God said to the Jewish people, you are my children. I chose you from all the nation to be mine. Therefore, I do not give you permission to mix with any other nation. I don't give you permission to follow their tradition, to follow their laws. You are my children. I took you out of Egypt to be mine. And I'm making a covenant with you today. I'm giving you my Torah, my secrets, and I want you to be the light for the goyim, for the Gentiles. You teach them everything about life from this Torah. It applies to the Jews. It also applies to the non-Jews. The non-Jews that follow the Torah and know it's the book of God, they know right away. Every other book who came after is fake. What does it mean, fake? How do you know, if someone comes and brings you a book, how do you know this book is divine? There are millions of people who can claim that they are the prophet. Everyone can come and write and bring a book and say, I'm the prophet of God. Everyone has to follow me. How do we know? The answer is, if we find one mistake in that book, one human error, we know for sure this book is not from God. If we don't find mistakes, we still do not know for sure. We still have to check and investigate if the book has divine knowledge or not. What's the difference between human knowledge and divine knowledge? Human knowledge, it's things that we can learn and we can see with our five senses. Divine knowledge is a way, way above our understanding. For instance, if you find in a book from 3,000 years ago the number of the stars in universe, billion, trillions of stars, galaxies, the Torah speaks about it. And only 400 years ago, in the time of Galileo, the world found out there's more than 6,000 stars. Everyone thought there's between 6,000 to 8,000 stars. There was no telescope, no satellite, no NASA, no mega computer to write such numbers. We didn't have computers to write such things until very recent. All of a sudden, NASA starting to take pictures of all the galaxies, and they find the number of the stars, billions, trillions of galaxies, they're all in movement, and the mega computer count all the dots, and they come with a huge number, 10 to the power of 19, and then you open the Talmud, the Gemara, Masechet Brachot, page 32, and you find that the Torah spoke about it in a generation that we didn't even have a calculator. Is that human knowledge or is that divine knowledge? This is the kind of the examples I'm going to show you in the next hour. Like I say, I'm going to skip a lot. The rest, you can go into my website, you can go into my DVD, and you can download, you have the iPhone app, you can take all the lectures to your iPhone, everything is free of charge. It's all just for people to open up their eyes and to see how lucky we are that we are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we receive the book of God from 7 billion people in the world that we have. There's only 13.2 million Jews. That's it. 13.2 million Jews is not even a quarter of a percent from the amount of people in the world. And everywhere you go, every television channel, every radio channel, every article somehow relates to Israel or to the Jews. There's more Nobel Prize winners, Jews, than any other people in the whole world. In the United States alone, you have only 6 million Jews. 300 million people, there's probably more. 300, they register. And only 6 million Jews. So, yes, a lot of, maybe another 100 million illegal immigrants. But overall, the amount of doctors in the United States is 50% Jews, 50% non-Jews. The 2% Jews contributed the same amount of the 98% non-Jews. Same thing in Nobel Prize winner, in business people, judges, lawyers, engineers, etc. What do you see? The blessing of the Torah to the children of God is happening every generation. The Torah say, I will spread you in all the nations. This was 3,320 years ago. I will spread you in all the nations. You would live by the Gentiles, and everyone would aim at you. Everyone will talk at you. You will be, Ba'it Hashem le'mashal u'lishnina. You will be the parable of everywhere you go. Everyone will speak about you. Everyone would look at you, and you'll be the light of the world. As you can see, there's many, many prophecies in the Torah. Now, let's give some examples of the introduction that I just made. We give some of the proofs, as I say. Let's talk two, three words about Islam. Today, the world is boiling. Somebody made a movie against Muhammad and the Islam. To make fun at people and put them down, that's not the right way. The right way is to speak in an intellectual way, in an intellectual argument, and to prove that their religion is fake. I do it for years and I'm still alive. Why? Because I do it in a respectable way. I'm not here to put them down, the opposite. I'm willing to challenge every one of them. Show me what you have, I show you what I have, and I prove you wrong. Let's give you an example of what I mean. 1400 years ago, a person came named Muhammad, didn't know how to write, didn't know how to read. According to their story, they admit there was a complete ignorant. He came from the desert, and he claimed that he got the book of the Quran from Angel Gabriel. How did he know the name Angel Gabriel? From the Torah. It's the Jewish angel. One of the three Jewish, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, Michael, and Gabriel, and there's Netanel also, but three major ones. So what did he say? He got the Quran from Angel Gabriel. And he's the new prophet. Right away, there's a major problem. The Talmud, 2,000 years ago, said that after the destruction of the Second Temple, there is no more prophets. No more. The gates of prophecy are closed for ordinary people. Prophecies from now on will be given only through little children that may say something from their mouth. It's a message for the nation. And from retarded people, autistic, people Down syndrome, things like this. No other way to receive a prophecy after the destruction of the Second Temple. So right away, it started against the rules of the Torah. Now remember, the Muslims and the Christians, they admit that the Jews received the Torah in Mount Sinai in front of millions of witnesses. Never the Muslims or the Christians never claim the Jews made up a religion. God never gave them the Torah. The opposite. Half of the Quran is speaking about the Torah. Half of the Quran is verses from the Torah. The story of the Exodus of Egypt is in the Quran. Musa, Moshe, Yusuf, Yosef, Ibrahim, it's all from the Torah. So their religion, they claim it's a continuation of the Torah. It's not a new religion. It's just a continuation. You have part one and you have part two. Therefore, part two must comply 100% with part one, because it comes from the same creator, same God. There's not two gods. They admit one God, Allahu Akbar, God is great. There's only one God. It's against the Islam to believe in more than one God. So they claim the Torah is 100% legit. Just that Muhammad is another prophet. Now, when we review the Quran, we have many, many problems. First problem is, God said to the Jews, when he sent Moshe to Egypt to take the Jews out, Moshe told him, no one would believe me. Why are you sending me? It's in the Torah. Soon I'm going to show the verses. And God said to him, don't worry, I will make a show around Mount Sinai with you. I will speak to you. And after everyone would listen to me speaking to you, they'll believe in you for eternity. וגם בך יאמינו לעולם. When are they going to believe in you, Moshe? Only after they heard me and you speaking in front of millions of witnesses. The Torah has a rule. Any testimony that is two people and more, it's a valid testimony. Less than two people, you can dismiss it right away. It's not acceptable in a court of law, and you're not allowed to listen to one witness. If one witness comes and says, I saw a murder, and there's no second one, you're not allowed to listen. It's just Lashon Hara. It needs to be minimum two kosher witnesses. Kosher, it's a different story, who is kosher and who's not. But at least two people. And Muhammad came by himself. Not one witness saw that the angel gave him the Quran. So right away, it's his story. You want to believe him or not, it's up to you. But there's not even one person to back up the story. He claimed, I was alone and I brought the Quran. Now you open the Quran and you see in 5 minutes that it cannot be the book of God. Why? Because this is right here. You have it in English and in Hebrew. It says in the Quran, this is in Surah 40, verse 36-37, Pharaoh, Haman and their advisor were sinners. He's speaking about Paro, the king of Egypt, and Haman in Persia, in Iran. So Haman and Paro, their advisor were sinners. Paro say, my servants, I know you have no God but me. How did they know Paro claimed his God? From the Torah. The Torah spoke about it, the Talmud. Vayomer el Haman, and he said to Haman, light the fire and let me go to the God of Moses and look at him. And create for me a tower that I can go up because I think he's a liar. So they're now making Pharaoh as a wicked person that speaks against God. There's only one problem. According to the Quran, Pharaoh and Haman had a meeting, board meeting. There's only one problem, that by the time Pharaoh died, only 1,000 years later, Haman was born. You understand? So the ignorant who wrote the Quran didn't know alphabet of kindergarten of the children who goes here to yeshiva, age 5, 6. That was his level. Because if you take my little kid in pre-1A or in first grade and ask him, Avrami, tell me, could Pharaoh and Haman meet? He would know that Pharaoh is in Mitzrayim and Haman is a long, long time later. He would know they can never meet. But according to the Torah, they had a meeting. According to the Quran, Moshe Rabbeinu is the uncle of JC. Did you know that? JC, the founder of Christianity, even though he never planned so. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were his uncles. How come? Let's talk a little bit just that we understand history. 2,000 years ago, there was a woman named Miriam, Jewish woman. She met Yosef the carpenter, another Jew. Both of them were Shomer Shabbat. They got engaged and they had Kiddushin. He put a ring on her finger, he gave her ketubah, they broke the glass. But in the old days, they didn't move in the same night like we do today. He went away and he comes back after a few months, brings some money to establish new home. By the time he came back, he saw that his wife is pregnant, even though he never touched her. So he told her, what's going on here? She said, don't worry, Yosef. I have very good news for you. God came to me in a dream. Sounds like a joke, but that's how Christianity started, in the first page of the New Testament. Right? So God came to me in a dream, and he told me that he made me pregnant, and this is going to be a holy man, a holy boy, and that's it. So right after that, you know, JC was born. They sent him to yeshiva. Later, he got kicked out of yeshiva because he was leading as a pretty ladies. And he called his rabbi, Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi, come see those pretty ladies out there. You know, that's the story. And later on, he dies. And 75 to 300 years after he died, Christianity started. Remember, he never started Christianity. He didn't have a plan to start a new religion. The opposite. I'm going to show you some things from the New Testament that some of the things he say is better than some of the rabbis say today. He had a lot of respect to the rabbis and to the Torah. He did some things that were wrong, but let me read to you a few things from the New Testament and you see how they're not listening to him. So now, according to the Quran, when Miriam came with the stomach, she's pregnant, the people of her town told her, first of all, they made, you know, when Batya Bat Paro went to find Moshe Rabbeinu in the Niles, so she found him and she brought him into the palace of Pharaoh. And then they told her, what is this baby? You're not married, Batya. How do you have a baby? She said, I found him. Don't kill him. Maybe we'll have a comfort in this boy, right? So according to the Quran, Batya wasn't the daughter of Paro, she was his wife. It says in the Quran in Surah 28, verse 7 to 9, that Batya, the wife of Paro. But in the Torah it says Batya bat Paro. So what happened to God? He forgot that she was his daughter and he made her a wife 2,000 years later when he gave another book. But all of a sudden, when Mary brought the baby, that's another incident, she came to the people of her town and they said to her, oh, Maria, what a strange thing you brought to us. Oh, the sister of Aaron. Your father wasn't a bad man, and your mother wasn't a prostitute. Maria, daughter of Amram, Mary, Miriam, she's the daughter of Amram, the sister of Aaron. Who was this Miriam? Miriam, the mother of JC, is a woman who lived 2,000 years ago, but they made a mistake. They look in the Torah, and the Torah, the sister of Aaron and Moshe, the daughter of Amram, was Miriam HaNeviah, our Miriam. She lived 3,400 years ago. So they took the Miriam from the family of Moshe, and the Miriam, the mother of JC, and mixed between them, and they made them into one Miriam. So all of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu became the uncle of JC. You understand? This is the Quran. This is how you knock out the Quran and show them that it cannot be from God. You don't have to make shows and make fun at them. You know, it's create a lot of murders and violence. You have to talk intellectually. And there's many other problems, but I didn't. The rest you can watch in my film. If you're interested to know a little bit more about it, you can go into the film. By the way, I don't know the Israeli politicians. If I was a politician, God forbid, I would stand in the United Nations and finish the argument about the state of Israel in less than 5 minutes. You know what I would do? I would take the Quran in English and I would ask the Arabs that sit in the United Nations, dear ladies and gentlemen, Arab Gentiles, tell me please, according to the Quran, the land of Israel belongs to you, to Ishmael, or to the Jews? They all scream, to us. To us, they scream to us. Then I'll open the Quran and I'll bring to them to Surah 5, Surah 7, 10, 17, 28. According to the Quran, it says clearly, God gave the land to the nation of Israel, took them out of Egypt. This is the tortured nation, and we did kindness to the weak nation, and we inherit them. I inherit them the land of Israel. It says in the Quran that the land belongs to the nation of Israel. I don't understand why the politicians don't use the Quran in the United Nations. Say, wait a minute, this is the book of Allah. Yeah, let's read what it says. Read about 14 verses from the Quran. The world will go on a fire. That will be the end of them. 1.5 billion people will have to hide under the Persian rugs. Why? what are they going to say after that? According to the Quran, Eretz Israel belongs 100% to the Jews. It says in the Quran. So if you believe your prophet, you claim he's the prophet of God, why don't you listen to him? Let's give another example. I have to skip some, but the rest you can see in my film. Okay? So, by the way, it says in the Quran that the Torah is more holy than the Quran. It says here, listen good, in Surah 6, verse 155, 156, and in Surah 10, verse 94, it says, if you have a doubt about anything about the Quran that was given to you, go and ask the nation of Israel. Right? Because they received the Torah before you. And it's more precise. Right here in front of you. So what else? What's the argument? You claim that it belongs to you. The Torah say God gave it to the Jews. In the Quran, it also say God gave it to the Jews. So what's the argument? So the argument is against their own book. Now let me give you another example, a little bit about Christianity. I'm skipping some, as you can see. Let's move to Christianity. JC, born as a Jew, died as a Jew. In the book of Matthew, this is the part of the New Testament. They have Matthew, John, Luke, and Mark, John, Matthew, and Luke. And the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17 to 19, this is what JC said to his followers. He said, do not think I came to contradict the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to contradict. I came to fulfill. I'm telling you today, if heaven and earth will be destroyed, you could still not erase one letter from the Torah. The Yud, he's using the letter Yud as the smallest letter in the alphabet. You cannot erase one Yud from the Torah, not even a part of the letter. They will all remain. Therefore, if someone will annul one tiny mitzvah from the Torah and will teach otherwise to people, will be cursed by God, will be cursed by the kingdom of heaven. So according to JC, every person who wants to follow him must keep all the Torah, all the mitzvot, and not allowed to change one letter from the Torah. Do you know one Christian from 2 billion Christians in the world that keep one mitzvah from the Torah? Outside, I brought you a DVD of the famous debate that I had with a Christian priest. You have to watch it. More than 300 goyim, 7 priests already converted to Judaism. You can ask your rabbi, Rabbi Ben Chaim, how many Christians are coming to him from these lectures to convert. And we avoid 90% of those who want to convert. The 5 or 10% that we see that are very serious, I send them to him, to the Beit Din. Righteous, very righteous goyim. But there's hundreds that write, after watching it, I know I'm wasting my time. Some of them, one of them is a priest from Ukraine. Listen to this. He sent an email about 2 months ago. He said to me, I watched your debate on the internet, then I watched Torah and Science, this lecture. Now, by now, I know 100% JC is all a myth, it's fake, nothing is real, the New Testament is a human book. Now I'm sitting here, I have thousands of people in a church. It's a church of monks, people who torture themselves, fasting in Ukraine, in a mountain somewhere, a big church. And he's one of the teachers there. He says, since I started to listen to your lectures, every week I come and I repeat your lectures word by word. All of a sudden, all the Christians are very interested now. Where are you getting all this stuff? But if I tell them I'm learning it from a Jewish rabbi, they'll kill me because they're very anti-Semite here, he writes. I all hate Jews very much. So now he asks me, what do you think I should do? Now I'm starting to give people guidance to go towards Judaism. And I'm avoiding JC from the picture. If they find out, I'm going to be in a risk. Should I quit the church or should I stay here? Because it's very hard for me to convert. He's thinking about to convert. How is he going to convert? So you see, watching the debate, watching this film, already this priest, after spending all his life in a church over there, he realizes it's all fake. And this is an example. Based on that, they have to follow the Torah 100%. And let's give another example. According to the Torah, Avraham Avinu brought the caves from Ephron Achiti. It's in Hebron. That's where they bury Yaakov Avinu. And the Torah speaking about the father of Shechem is Hamor, right? And how many Jews went with Yaakov Avinu, his family, to Egypt? 70 people. Yaakov went to Egypt. The Torah says 70 people. According to the New Testament, Yaakov went to Egypt and died over there, and they took him to, instead of Hebron, they made a mistake. They wrote Shechem, Nablus. It's a different city. They bury him in Shechem. They made a mistake between Yaakov and Yosef. Yosef was buried in Shechem. Yaakov was buried in Me'arat HaMachpelah in Hebron. So according to their book, who they claim that it's from God, the New Testament, it says that Yaakov went to Shechem, they died, and they took him to Shechem, and they buried him in the cave that Abraham bought from the children of Hamor in Shechem. Two mistakes in one verse. That's not from God. Every little Jewish kid in yeshiva knows where Me'arat HaMachpelah. When I show it to the priest, the end of the debate, I told him, let me ask you a question. If I come with a book, and I tell you God gave me this book, and you open the book and you see the twins collapsed in Brooklyn, not in Manhattan. The twins with the planes, with Bin Laden, it didn't happen in Manhattan. It says in my divine book that it happened in Brooklyn. Would you waste another minute on this book? He said to me, of course not. I said, it's for sure not from God, right? He said, for sure. So I asked him, so tell me, in that case, how does it say that the cave of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is in the city of Shechem, when every fool knows it's in Hebron? Everyone knows. The whole world knows. How does it say in your book that it's in Shechem? He said, where does it say such a thing? When I show it to him, this was his words. You put me in a hole. I don't know how I'm going to get myself out of there. I told him, I just proved to you your religion is fake. He didn't say no. As a professor for Christianity, teaching Christianity in Manhattan for 31 years, he didn't say no. What did he say? He said, my heart doesn't let me leave it. Heart. I say heart is nonsense. It's all illusions. We all have different things in our hearts. That's nonsense. I say when a terrorist blows the bus, in his heart he believes he goes to heaven. But we all know where he goes. It's against the Ten Commandments. The heart is nothing. We're talking logic here. Logic, I prove to you, your book is full of human errors. Where is he? For more than 3 years, he's gone. We never heard from him ever again. Now, let's talk a little bit about the Torah. Shh, enough Christianity, enough Buddhism. I can say something about Buddhism. 2,400 years ago, Buddha came, and he said, I saw the light. 2,400, that's 900 years after the Torah was given to the Jews. I saw the light. Whatever light he saw, I don't know, maybe he took LSD, maybe he took some pills, I don't know what he took, but he saw the light. And people started to believe him that he saw something spiritual. How many witnesses he had? None. How many witnesses Mary had that she had a dream? None. How many witnesses Muhammad had that the angel Gabriel gave him the Quran? None. 80,000 times someone came and started a fake religion or a fake cult, not one of them brought another witness. You know why? I'm going to show you in 1 minute why. Wait, just one minute in patience, I'll show you why. What does the Torah say to the Jews? Listen good, here, it's right in front of you. In Sefer Dvarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 4, this is what it says. Hashem said to the Jews, I will spread you in all the nations. Only few of you will survive. We started in the same generation like the Chinese people. In Parashat Noach, Noach had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Yefet, 3 wives, Noach and his wife, 8 people. 4,200 years ago, the world started again with 8 people. Today, 4,200 years later, there are 7 billion people. Noah had 3 sons, 1 righteous, 2 wicked. The righteous one, his name is Shem, Sam in English. And the other one, Yefet, is Jeff and Ham. So Ham and Yefet were not righteous, not tzaddikim. But Shem was a tzaddik. So what does the Torah say? That from Shem, later Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov came out. Someone who hates the Jews, we call him anti-Shemi, anti-Semite. Why? Because we came from Shem. He doesn't like us. He doesn't like the descendants of Sem, Shem in the Torah. Shem was the uncle of the Chinese. The Chinese people, the Sini, the Torah says, Vayoledet HaSini, came from Ham. Shem was the brother of Ham. Ham have a son, it says, Vayoledet HaSini. So Shem, our father, is the uncle of the Chinese. Chinese and the Jews started the same generation. How many Chinese you have in the world today? Almost 2 billion. And they have restriction on birth. You're allowed to have only one kid in China. You cannot have more than one kid. If you get pregnant again, you have to go out of China and give birth. There's no. It's against the law to have more than one kid. We, the Jews, never have restrictions on birth. How come we only 13 million Jews? If there are 2 billion, we should have been 4 or 5 billion. From 4 or 5 billion, how come we are only 13 million? What happened to 99% of us? Where are they? This is the answer right here. It says in the Torah, God said to the Jews, I will spread you in all the nations, and only few of you will survive among the goyim, among the nations, as I'm directing you there. I'm sending you there, but only few of you will survive. Few, very little. And over there, you're going to betray me. And you follow fake religions. Fake religions. The religion of the wood and the religion of the stone. That's what the Torah says, 3,324 years ago. This is 1,300 years before Christianity and 1800, 1900 years before Islam, almost 2000 years before Islam, and 1300 years before Christianity. This is what God said to the Jews. Over there, you follow God, man-made God, the God of the wood, the God of the stone that cannot do anything for you. If you know, about 20, 22 years ago, the world was shocked when the first time the Jews showed to the world that the Torah has codes inside the Torah. The secrets inside the text. Inside the Torah you have mathematical, skip, hidden codes that Hashem put inside the Torah that's speaking about us today. The Torah 3,300 years ago, speaking about Bin Laden, speaking about Menachem Begin, speaking about George Bush, speaking about Saddam Hussein, speaking about Iran, what's happening today. Everything is inside the Torah. How do we know? We entered the entire Torah into the computer, and we told the computer, we will put words, and you have to find these words in equal, minimal, mathematical skip. Let me give you an example. If I want to send one of you to Iran to be a spy, Baruch Hashem, you grow a mustache, you take off your yarmulke, you go to Iran, you speak good Persian, so now you live in Tehran over there. Slowly, slowly you come, you bribe Ahmadinejad, you become his friend. All of a sudden, you have to tell me now how many atomic bombs they're making. Now, if you have to send me an email or a letter, how are you going to do it? You're not going to write the entire information in a letter. The next thing, they're going to catch you in 24 hours. So we have to agree on a code. So I'm saying to you, listen, my friend, you just send me nonsense story about your grandmother, your grandfather, your friends, you went to play, you went to the grocery, who cares? You made up a story. But you and I know the code. The code is from the first letter, every 50 letters count. The rest is nonsense. So I circle the first letter, I count 49 letters, the 50th letter I circle. The 100 letter, the 150, 200, 250, 300, I circle all the letters, I get rid of all the rest, and this is the new story. Now you send me, everyone who reads this letter doesn't understand anything. I got up in the morning, I went to buy milk. Nobody understands that you're telling me how many bombs they have. Only you and I know the secret. This is how information about us is inside the book that was given to us 3,324 years ago. Let me give you an example. The Torah says, if you're not going to listen to me, I spread you in all the nation and you follow fake religions. Take this yud, count 50 letters, you get the letter shin. Count 50 letters, you get the letter vav. What do you get? Yud, shin, vav. Yeshu, JC. The name of JC is hidden in a verse in the Torah that speak about fake religions. in equal skip of 50. Now, you take this mem, you count 50 letters in reverse. You go to half. 50 letters in reverse, you get hey. You get Mecca. In Saudi Arabia, the main city of the Quran, of the Islam, is Mecca. So there is one verse in the Torah. The Torah have more than 5,000 verses. More than 5,000 verses. There's a one verse who speak about the religion of the wood and the religion of the rock. This is almost 2,000 years before Islam, 1,300 years before Christianity. Inside the verse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put two words. He hid Yeshu and Mecca. Now, I want to hear one person here that can tell me that something like this can happen by mistake, by coincidence, or it wasn't planned by the given of the book. Now, if you see that the book knew the future, and when he speak about the religion of the wood and the religion of the rock, he's speaking about Islam and Christianity, what human being was able to give this information 2,000 years before Islam started? Nobody would know. Do you know what's going to happen in 2,000 years from now? To write it in a book, in a code? Nobody knew. Do you know how many codes like this we have in the Torah? More than 100,000. The word AIDS appear in Parashat Noach. When they speak about the sin between man to man, in that chapter of Noach, the word AIDS appear in equal skip. When they speak about the Holocaust, one of the biggest tragedies in Jewish history, the Torah described that God said to Moshe, after you're going to die, one day my children is going to betray me, and they're going to forget my Torah, and they would like to be like the Goyim. At that time, I will be very angry at them, and I will send those Goyim to destroy them. In that chapter, all the words that connects to Germany, Nazi Germany, are in one chapter in the Torah. Adolf Hitler, Adolf Eichmann, Rudolf Hess, the Zyklon B, it's the gas, Ghetto, the final solution, HaShoah, the Holocaust, HaShoah in equal skip. All the words that connects to the Shoah are all hidden in a chapter that's speaking about Holocaust. How long? 3,300 years before it started in Germany, the Torah already described the entire Holocaust from A to Z. Now, do you know a person that can do such a thing? Of course not. It's only the creator of the world. And the good news is, right next to it, he said, we have to keep Shabbat. We have to put tefillin. We have to be modest. We have to be generous. We have to be honest. We have to do. Right in the same book. And that's the point of people are not getting sometimes. What is it? That it's not only a book of information. It's a book of very important message for the life of every one of us. Now, who knows how many New Testaments are in the world today? How many different ones? Who knows? If a person wants to become a Christian and he goes to the library in the internet and he wants to get the original New Testament, do you know how many would come up? How many would come up? More than 200,000 different versions. Even if God gave this book, even, it's gone. You can never find it. Even if there was one divine book, you know, Chas v'Shalom, if one letter is missing in the Torah, it's not holy. You can put it in a suitcase, send it with El Al, the people in the airport pick it up, the suitcase, they throw it like this, nobody cries. Oh, the Torah is inside, no problem. One yud is missing, it's not holy. Now, you see, New Testament, 200,000, you can make a bridge all the way from here to Iran with the New Testament. And you walk over it, and you still have books to go. It's never going to end, 200,000 copies. Which one was the book of God? You'll never know. Of course, none. But even if you want to believe in it, you can't. This religion is dismissed completely. Even if you want to follow it, there's no way. Because each one of them is a fake book. That's why I told the priest. I told him, if I have a diamond worth $100 million, a very original, expensive diamond, the best color, and I come to show it to you, Baruch Hashem, there's hundreds of people here, each one of you knew that I'm going to present my diamond here. So before, you brought a fake diamond. You brought it from Russia. They make very fake, very good fake diamonds, exactly the same cut like mine. And when I pull out my diamond and I went like this, All of you got up and threw your diamonds at me, and I got nervous. I see hundreds of diamonds coming towards me. My diamond fell on the floor, and now there's 400 diamonds on the floor. Now I'm looking around. I don't know which one is mine. Everyone who comes, they all look the same. You don't know which one is real, which one is what. Mine, 1 minute ago, worth $100 million. How much it's worth right now? Zero. Nobody would give $100 million for a chance, 1 to 400, that it's worth something. The other ones worth $20 each. So even if I had an original one, it's gone. Too bad. You can't. What about the Quran? It's only 1,400 years. It's not 2,000 years. Give them another 600 and we'll talk then. And 600 now, maybe in the next Gilgul. But right now they have hundreds of different Qurans. It gets even better. Muhammad had four wives. Each one of them had a different Quran. Check in the internet. Versions of the Quran. Aisha and another one, I forgot their names. Four different ones. I think one of them was Jewish, Rahmana Letzilan. Each one of his wives has a different Quran. And plus, there's different Qurans in the world. Mamash, completely different. So which one you dying for? For this one? Or if this one is divine, the other one is a toilet paper. If this one is divine, the other one... It cannot be both of them from God if it's two different books. You understand what's happening here? How many Torahs we have? Let's see. Let's go now to Iran, to Tehran. We open the Torah. What's over there? Bereshit bara Elohim. 304,805 letters. You go to Tehran. You go to Shiraz. You go to Mashhad. You go to China. You go to Hong Kong. You go to Syria. You go to Russia, Poland, Israel. Everywhere you go, same Torah. Everywhere you go, same story, same Torah, same name, same date, same everything. Now remember, the whole world wanted to destroy the Jews and the Torah. Nobody wanted to destroy the Christians. Nobody wanted to destroy the Muslim or the Buddhist or the Hinduism. Nobody were after them. They had the freedom of speech all the time. Their books is gone, and everyone wanted to destroy the Torah. We are here, and they are all gone. All the empires who came after Israel, they're all wiped out. The Philistines, the Romans, the Babylonians, the Persian of Ahasuerus, they all are, each one of them, they're gone. The Greeks, where are the Greeks? A tiny country next to Cyprus. Where is the Philistines? They're gone. The Arabs took their place. The Palestinians and the Philistines are two different people. Palestinians is Ishmael, and the Philistines are gone from the world. The Romans, the Italian in Roma, Rome has nothing to do with the Romans of 2,000 years ago, Titus and his friends. The Babylonians, today it's Saddam Hussein and his friends over there. The Arabs, it's nothing to do. They're gone from the world, the Babylonians. Where are they? Where are the Persians of Ahasuerus? They're gone. There's none of this empire left. Egypt of Pharaoh, they're all gone. Today you have Arabs over there. All the empires who came after the Jews, Hashem cleaned them and did not leave one survivor from them. And we, that everyone came after that, b'chol dor v'dor omdim alenu lechalotenu, what we say in the Haggadah of Pesach, v'akadosh baruch hu matzilenu miyadam. Every generation they after us to destroy us, we somehow get saved, somehow we survive. One sheep among 70 wolves. What's the chance? Let's give you an example what happened. When Muhammad came, he brought the Quran right here. This is Muhammad. Mustafa came, he copied it, he made one mistake. If the Quran has only 100,000 letters, let's just take an even number. If he writes 100,000 letters with a feather and ink, you make at least one mistake, no? So one mistake, Mustafa. Then came Said. Said copied from Muhammad and made also one mistake. How many differences we have between Said and Mustafa? Two differences already, right? Because he made one mistake in the letter Lamed, and he made one mistake in the letter Nun. So there's already two differences. Then came Ahmed, he copied from him, also made one mistake. There's already four versions. In one generation, there's already many versions. Multiply by 1,400 years, the Quran is gone. You will never know which one was the original one, never. That's why it's a waste of time, total waste of time. But the Torah, Baruch Hashem, will never be gone. Why? Hashem say, without my Torah, there's no point for the world. I only keep the world for the Torah. No Torah, no world. The Torah is the blueprint of the creation. It's takel bo'oraita uvara alma. Everything I created here is based on my Torah. We do not even know 1/1,000,000,000% of the secrets of the Torah. Every generation we discover a little more, a little more, a little more. It's like a drop in the ocean of this wonderful book that God gave to us. Now, let's skip for the actually the first proof that I'm going to show you. This is what the Torah says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. Sefer Dvarim, Perek Dalet, Psukim Lamed Bet, Lamed Hey. This is what it says. Hashem comes to the Jews and this is what he says. Kish'alna le'amim rishonim. Dear Jew, in every generation that you read my Torah, I want you to go and search in history. Go retroactive from the time the world was made until your days. Go and check. If ever a group of people came and claimed that I spoke to them, or I gave them a book, or I gave them a religion, or I did any miracles for them like I did for you, the Jews, go and check if ever a group of goyim, of non-Jews, ever claimed that I spoke to them. One individual, yes, hundreds of times, no problem, thousands of times. More than one? Never. I will never let it happen. This is what it says. Look. It says, Ashama Am. Am is a group of people. Ashama Am. Kol Elokim medaber mitoch ha'esh ka'asher shamata ata v'yechi. Did you ever find a group of people claim that I spoke to them from a fire and they survived to testify? Where are they? Check in a history. You'll never find. Do you know what the risk to write such a thing in a book? You cannot write it unless you are God. No individual will take such a risk. No one, even the dumbest person, will not take such a risk. Why? If I'm giving you today a book and I claim I'm the messenger of God, and I say to you, never a group of people would come and claim they heard such and such. All they have to do is to fake such an event. Five Arabs come. They bribe each other, they all now became one group, and they say, you know, we just went somewhere in Texas, and God came to us, and we all fell on the floor, and diamonds fell, and we picked it up, and now, from now on, he's the prophet. That would be the first mistake in the Torah. Remember, one mistake, it's all over. It's not a book from a person that can make a mistake, and we say, no problem, we understand. It's a divine book. God doesn't make mistakes. So God say, go and check. If you find a group of goyim that say that I spoke to them, it's going to be the first mistake in the Torah. It will never happen. 80,000 times one goy came, one, and claimed that he has a new book or is the new prophet. Not one of them was able to bring 2, 3, 5 witnesses. Why Muhammad didn't bring 5 of his cousins? Why? All he had to do come. Mustafa, Ismail, Saeed, come all of you here, $1,000 for you, $1,000 for you, $1,000 for you, $1,000 for you. Now you have to swear to me that you learn this by heart. I give you 5 months to learn one page. You learn it. By the end of the 5 months, you know by heart, word by word, how the angel came, how we all fell. You know the whole story. And you come to the people with me and you say, Allahu Akbar, we just saw this. He's the prophet, the angel came. It was amazing. And that's it. 5 people come and say, it's much, much stronger than one person who comes talking about a dream. 5 witnesses, right? The more witnesses are coming, the more difficult it is to argue with the story. You know why he didn't bring 5 witnesses? I'll tell you why. Because in... No. He had plenty of money, don't worry. You know what the problem was? If you bring 5 fake witnesses, you are in their hands forever. Everything they want, you have to do for them. Because in 1 year from now, they're not happy from their job. They come to you and say, Muhammad, you promised me a job in a town of Great Neck, no? What am I doing now? I'm unemployed. I want a job right now. Or you pay me salary, I don't care. If not, I'm going to say that you bribed us. After he established his fake religion to millions of people, now they're going to ruin the story for him? It's very difficult. You know, it's just a matter of time until the truth comes out. But the Torah promised it will never happen. Only one individual will come and tell his story. God comes to Moshe and he says, go and save the Jews out of Egypt. Moshe doesn't want to go. 1 week they're arguing. Moshe says, I'm stuttering. I cannot. Aaron is older than me. Why you choose me? Anyway, they won't listen to me. All these arguments, Hashem said to Moshe, you're right. Why should they listen to you? Only fools would listen to you. He said it in a different way. I'm just translating. Here it is. Vayan Moshe vayomer. Hashem say, ve'en lo ya'aminu li, ve'lo yishmeu bekoli, ki yomru lo nira elecha Hashem. They'll tell me, you're a faker. You claim that God sent you? We don't believe you. Prove to us that you are the messenger of God. How am I going to prove to them that you spoke to me now by the bush, by the burning bush? If I come to millions of people and say, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. I was way up there in a hill and I saw a burning bush and God spoke to me. They'll send me to a mental hospital. What? This guy's crazy. What? He saw God. The bush wasn't burning. No, he has a good point, no? Now you may think that God would get very angry at him. God should have said to him, I don't understand you. I tell Avraham Avinu, leave your home, leave your town. Lech lecha me'artzecha mimuladetecha. Go to wherever I'm going to show you, not one beep. Yes, sir, no problem. He took all his millions and moved. He lost his fame after he established himself. He had businesses, servants. He left everything and he had to go to somewhere he didn't even know. Not one beep. Everyone I spoke to before you didn't make a beep. I told Noah to build an ark 120 years, he didn't make a beep. Now I come to you and say, go save my nation. You're arguing with me? But that's not what God said. What did he say to him? He said to him, yeah, they're right. Why? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hine anochi ba elecha be'anan, I'm going to come to you from the clouds. I would like the entire nation to hear that I'm speaking to you. And after that, they believe in you for eternity. And only after that, Moshe agreed to go and take them out of Egypt. So what do we see here? God said to us already the rules. When I want to give a religion, I don't want to whisper it to somebody in a bathroom or in a desert. I want everybody to hear. I want my children to keep my mitzvot. I want them to follow Shabbat, tefillin, prayers, and all the things that I say in the Torah. Why would I create such a doubt? I want everybody to know. So that's why I'm going to speak to Moshe in front of millions of people that they should never have here. And this is what he said to him. Vayomer ki ayeh imcha vezeh lecha ot. This is the sign for you that I sent you. Everyone will follow and worship God around this mountain. So, if I did not speak to you, I don't have any problem with them not listening to you. Why? You didn't prove your point. But after I spoke to you, what is it like? Let me explain to you one. Let's say I come now here tonight, and I say, now let's say this is Microsoft company. And I came and I say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the new president of Microsoft in Great Neck. So you say to me, you, Microsoft, what do you have to do with Microsoft? I say, yes, I'm the new messenger. You, please make me coffee. You, don't talk when I talk. You, go park my car. You, do me a favor, go over there. So you say to me, hey, excuse me, sir, if you're not going out, we're going to call 911. So you start kicking me. You're throwing me from the window. You're throwing rocks at me. So, okay, I went home with lots of embarrassment. What happened the next day? I show up with Mr. Bill Gates, hand by hand. We come, we stand on the stage, he put his hand on my shoulder and say, ladies and gentlemen, what happened here yesterday, it's a horrible disaster. I sent the new messenger and you all kicked him and you threw him out of the window. So I want to nominate him to be my representative. From now on, dealing with him is dealing with me. Goodbye. What happened from now? Everyone who kicked me will hide for 100 years. And everyone said, can we make you coffee? No, what do you want from the trunk? Where is your car? Let me park it. Everything changed, right? This is exactly what happened here. Moshe said to him, why are you sending me to a mission? No one believes in me. So Hashem said to him, don't worry, I'll talk to you. They will hear and everyone would understand and they'll believe in you for eternity. And that's what's happening. Time is running out. Let me show two or three more examples and we'll take it from there. Okay, so this is another proof. There's many ways to prove that the Torah is divine. One is to look at the structure of the transmission, the way he was transferred from generation to generation. Second, as I mentioned before, codes in the Torah, hidden codes. Third, the only book in history from all the religions, from all the codes that have prophecies to the future in it is the Torah. There's no prophecies in the Quran, not even one prophecy, nothing. There's not even one prophecy in the New Testament. 200 years after Christianity started, the Christian church said the Jews will never go back to the Holy Land. Why? They saw the destruction of the Second Temple. They say God left them. But the Jews came back to the Holy Land. So we sent a letter to the Pope, the previous Pope, about 15 years ago. How do you explain that millions of Jews returned to the Holy Land? You say that the Jews will never go back to the Holy Land. So they answered, the Vatican does not recognize the state of Israel. That was their answer. What does it have to do with the Torah? We're asking if the Jews return to Israel or not. With the state of Israel, without, it's not relevant. We are now talking, Jews return to the land? Yes, millions return. It's against what you said. So the one prophecy they gambled to give happened to be wrong. And Muhammad knew he's not a prophet, so he did not write one prophecy. They all scream, Prophet Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, Prophet who never gave one prophecy in the whole Quran. That's what's happening. Now, so the Torah is full of prophecies. I make a deal with you. Every chapter in the Torah you open, I guarantee you to show you at least one prophecy in that chapter. One time I was in Yonkers. It was already 4 o'clock in the morning. Big arguments with the atheist. A real apikos speaking against, again, everything I say is against. So in the end, when I say what I just said, that in the Torah, every chapter you open, you say, yeah. He said to the owner of the house, you have the Torah here? Say, bring the Torah. I want to open and see. Guess where he opened? He opened Parashat Bechukotai. Every verse is a prophecy. So after reading six lines, I only gave him six prophecies, destruction of Bet HaMikdash, this, the Romans. He said, okay, you made your point. The best chapter he opened, mamash. Each line is a prophecy. So, wisdom, there's wisdom in the Torah that you know right away, a person could never know these things. Only the creator of the world. And there is full control in the Torah, which means archaeology and psychology. And the Torah is the only objective religion. Let me explain what I mean. In the Quran, you will never find one word against Muhammad. Never. Everything about him was more perfect than God himself. You never find anything, Muhammad was a cross-eyed. Muhammad was a midget. Muhammad, was a hunchback. You never find anything against him. Everything was perfect about him. Then you go to the New Testament, not one word against JC. Every other Buddha, the same thing. Hindu, all their books is perfect. You open the Torah, Adam, 1 hour is alive, already made a sin. Hashem punished him. Next thing, 2 minutes later, this Noach get drunk. David HaMelech, problem, Bathsheba. Every person, Shlomo HaMelech, the women turn his heart away from Hashem. Torah is full of Lashon Hara against the greatest people in history. Why? Because the Torah is a divine book. God is not a liar. He's not a politician, hide everything under the rug. This is a divine book. He writes the good and the bad. There was 99% good, but there was 1% bad. And he wrote the bad about Moshe, the bad about Aaron with the golden calf, the bad about the two sons of Aaron, the bad about Adam. Do you know why Hashem didn't make Adam and Eve Chinese? They will eat the snake. Ruin the story. Right away, they ruined the movie, you know? So, one more example. Moshe Rabbeinu, if he didn't get the book from God, he would write about himself that he's stuttering, he can't talk, he didn't enter the Holy Land, his children could not take his place, God got angry at him. All kinds of things that the Torah say against Moshe would never write. Nobody would write such things about himself. God punished me, I never entered the land. I want everyone in history to know that I had such an end. I would never write it. But I have no choice. God told me what to write and I wrote. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, every king in the world, in the non-Jewish world, as soon as he comes into power, what's the first thing he does? Begin to take care of his relatives, his children, grandchildren, uncle, cousins, everyone get a job. He is the leader of the army. He is the man of, the head of the air force. He is the head of all the offices. He is the head of the government. Everyone gets a job. Plus, he begins to steal from his nation hundreds of billions of dollars. Mubarak, Gaddafi, all the others, Assad, whatever you want to call them. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the leader. He's the king now. Everyone get real estate in Israel. His children don't get anything. Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi, didn't get a piece of land in the Holy Land. All the tribes got land that worth trillions of dollars in Israel. Look, it's very expensive real estate there. My family, I'm the king. My children don't get a land. Everyone gets. My children have to be visitors, a little here, a little there, in the Arei Leviim, in Arei Mikla. What's going on? Where I take care of my own family right away. I'm not the boss. I only follow the instruction of the real boss. Told me, Shevet Levi, Elo Nachala B'Israel. Finished. You understand what does it mean, objective book? No baloney. And the last thing, there are wonders in the creation that right away you can see that the one who gave this book and speak about it could be no one besides God. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Here, we all eat kosher fish, I hope. So it says, how do you know if a fish is kosher? There are two ways to know. One, to write all the kinds of fish in the Torah. By the time you finish to read, you become 70 years old. And you don't even know anything else. Your head hurts. So what happened to you? 70 years, I'm reading names of fish. Until finally I found 13 that are kosher. That's obviously not realistic. So what did God say? I'm not telling you names. Doesn't matter the names. There's more than 40,000 different kind of fish. There's hundreds of thousands of different species live in the oceans. 72% of the world is water. More than 12 kilometer depth from here to Queens. That's how deep they found. It's much deeper, but there's a lot of pressure. They just can't go deeper. And what does the Torah say to the Jews? Everything that have fins and scales, you're allowed to eat. Two signs, two witnesses. Fins and scales, kosher. No fins, no scales, not kosher. Now you have to know. The Torah, as I said before, have 304,805 letters. Thousands of verses. And many, many words. You cannot understand one sentence in the written Torah. Not two, one. Not one word in the written Torah without the oral Torah. That's the biggest mistake of most Jews in the world. I met thousands of Jews and say, I believe in written Torah, but I don't believe in a Gemara. I don't believe in the rabbis. The rabbi every week, they come with a new decision, new law. This is the most foolish comments a person can make from the time the world was created until now. Nothing can be more foolish than this. And that comes only from 100% ignorance. Everyone who say that doesn't know Torah even 1%. Why? Because you cannot understand one word in a Torah, one word, without the oral Torah. I'll give you an example. Hashem said to us, you have to circumcise your babies in the 8 days. Every born in the 8 day, and you have to circumcise him. You have to cut his orla. Where is the orla? It doesn't say. How to cut? It doesn't say. What happened if the baby is yellow? What happened if his brothers die chas v'shalom before? Can you cut him? What happened if he born in the night? The 8 day will be in the night. So you're allowed in the night? What happened if he falls on Shabbat? A woman wants to circumcise. She's allowed. A goy wants to circumcise. He's allowed. There's thousands of questions about Brit Milah. Not one word is mentioned in the written Torah. God say, you cannot be a Jew until you circumcise, your father have to circumcise you in the 8 day. You're not circumcised, you're not a Jew. You call Arel, even Korban Pesach you cannot eat. Such an important mitzvah, only one sentence in the Torah about it, you have to circumcise the babies in the 8 day. That's it, nothing else. Where are all the laws were given to Moshe verbally? Shabbat. The Torah say Shabbat is in it's an eternal covenant agreement between me and my children, the nation of Israel, אות היא לעולם. It's a sign for eternity that I created the world in 6 days and in a 7th day I rested. All my children have to keep Shabbat like I did. I created the world in 6 days and a 7th day, nothing. The Jews cannot create anything on Shabbat. They cannot turn the fire on. They cannot turn the engine of the car on. They cannot turn light bulbs on. They cannot write on Shabbat. Where does it say it in the Torah? Where? The Torah says, "Lo tevaru esh v'chol moshvotechem." Do not create fire everywhere you're going to live. And the Torah, it's a covenant. It's an eternal covenant. And according to the Torah, a person that doesn't keep Shabbat cut himself out of the eternal life. It's not a joke. According to the Torah, what does it say? V'nichreta ha-nefesh ha'im Yisrael. It says in the Torah 12 times. More than you should not kill. More than you should not steal. More than you should not kidnap. More than you should not worship idols. More than anything. It says you have to keep this covenant to make you belong to me for eternity. That you get your share to the world to come. Now, does it make a difference that a person who violates Shabbat lose such a big loss and nowhere in the Torah it says how to keep Shabbat? Where does it say in the Torah 39 restrictions, what you're allowed, what you're not allowed? So obviously, if there is such an important mitzvah and such a horrible punishment and nowhere in the Torah it says how to keep Shabbat, so what, God is playing games with us? If you come to work for me in my business, in accounting, I have to give you the guidelines of the company. I have to teach you the basics. I have to teach you the bank accounts. I have to teach you what to do, what not to do. Imagine if I say to you, listen, one mistake you made, we're going to lose millions of dollars. I'm going to lock you in a room for 20 years and beat you up from morning to night. So you say to me, okay, I'll be very careful. I want the job. I know you pay a lot, a very good salary. Okay, so tell me what to do. I say, no, it's your problem. Goodbye. What would happen? So this guy's crazy. So what, Chas v'shalom, Hashem is more crazy than this? Who's going to think such a foolish things? It comes from ignorance. 613 laws in the Torah, there is no way to keep one without the oral law. There's no way. Now why God wrote everything in the Torah and explained everything without writing in verbal way to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why? Because if he would write everything in one book, nobody in the world after a few generations would know if he's Jewish or not. There would be no way to know, and Judaism would be over. Why? Let me explain. Today, everywhere I go, or today I get emails from all over the world. I don't know if a Jew or a non-Jew writes to me. I don't know. Many non-Jews knows much more Torah than Jews today. So they even use the word Hashem. They even use the word kol tuv. They write shana tova, ktiva and chatima tova. Many goyim. They're listening to lecture and they learn. So there's no way to know. If a person comes with a beard and he puts yarmulke on, and you don't know where he's from, and you say, I'm a German Jew. You don't know. You have no way to know if he's a Jew or not. Now, if everything would be written in the Torah, all the goyim heard the Jews received the Torah from God. So they're all very impressed. We call Am HaSefer, the nation of the book. Who called us for the first time in history the nation of the book? Muhammad. He invented this respectable title to the Jews. Am HaSefer, the nation of the book. He called us Muhammad. So now when all the goyim heard the Jews spoke to God and God gave them a book, every normal goy that wants to be close to God, what's the first thing he would want to do? Join the nation of God. Now, if he has to join the nation of God, he has to go to very complicated law of conversion. Most of them, when they hear it, they give up. All he has to do, if everything would be written in a book, he doesn't need the Beit Din, the rabbis. He becomes Jewish on his own. He puts yarmulke, beard everyone had in those days. He knows all the laws. He can make himself fill in. He can circumcise. He knows everything. 2 or 3 generations later, the whole world becomes Israeli salad. Nobody knows who he is. And Judaism will be over. Nobody would know if he's Jewish or not. We wouldn't know if we're Jewish or not. Even today it's very hard to know. Therefore, all the instructions were given to the Jews in secret. You can only learn it in yeshiva, from rabbi to student, from father to son. It's not published. If it would be published, After 3, 4, 5 generations, the whole world become a doubt. Jewish or not Jewish, nobody knows. Because they all got mixed. And they don't need us to teach them because they have all the laws. Right now, look what happened to the Goyim. They follow the written Torah like the Muslims. Eye for an eye. They take out the eye. Hand for an hand. They cut the hand if you steal. But that's not what the Torah say. See, they don't have the oral law, so they make millions of mistakes. Without the oral law, you cannot be Jewish. Therefore, everyone who thinks, the Gemara, the rabbis made it up, you have no idea what you're talking about. It's Judaism, it's all the Gemara. If Chas v'Shalom, the Goyim come and say, you have to give us one Torah. If not, we kill all of you. You have to give us the written Torah or the oral Torah. Which one we would have to give them? We must give them the written one. If we give them the oral one, in 2 generations, we'll be gone. Nobody would know what to do. Not without Gemara, without Halacha, finished. The written one, we can still tell our children, there used to be Moshe, we came out of Egypt. It can go from word to mouth without the actual history. But all the laws do not come from the written one. It's all come from the oral Torah. How do you know how to make tefillin? There's 1,000 steps until you finish one pair of tefillin. From the minute you kill the cow, until you take the skin, until you take off the hair, until you put it in lime and dry it, until you cut it, until you make it into boxes, until you make the paint, until you paint, until you make the sheen all day, until you make the separation inside, and then you make the stripe, and you make the knots, and then you write 8 chapters from the Torah inside. One tiny mistake after 8 months of work, it's all pasul. 2,000 pair of tefillin became 1 penny. You bury it in the ground. One mistake, it's not divine. Where does it say all of it in the written Torah? How did Moshe know to come down and teach them how to make tefillin when it takes a year from the minute you slaughter the cow? How did they know from what animal? How did they know what makes it kosher, what not? None of it is in the written Torah. We wouldn't know how to make Brit Milah if Moshe come and say, we have to circumcise the babies. Right away, 3 million Jews, it would be 6 million opinions. Why? The Torah say Orla. Nobody heard this word before. So everyone say, where do we have to cut? So one Jew would say, right here. This one, you can cut, nothing would happen. One say, no, he's talking about the nails. That's Orla. The other one say, no, he's talking about this, the hair. One say, no, the nails in a feet. Everyone would argue what Orla is. Right away, there would be 5,000 different Brit Milah. Nobody would know. You get the point? There is no Judaism without Gemara, without written, without oral law. There's no Judaism. And in case you think the oral law came from the rabbi, here I'm going to show you something that will knock you out, and maybe we'll finish with this. One or two more things. Please just pay attention very carefully. So God said to the Jews, if you want to eat something from the rivers, from the oceans, it has to have fins and scales. Come the oral law. The Oral Torah, this is what the Oral Torah says. This is Masechet Nida, the Gemara, chapter 6, Mishnah Tet. The Gemara says like this. Kol sheyesh lo kaskeset, yesh lo snapir. Everything you're going to find in the oceans, in the rivers, that have scales, must have fins guarantee. How do I know? I created them. You will never find anything in the oceans that have scales, but does not have fins. So what? If you find one snake in a lake here in upstate New York, there's lakes. I saw snakes there in the water. You take one snake out, and the snake has scales like the fish. When we buy the fish, we scrape the scales, they fall off. One snake would look like a fish with scales, it would be the end of Judaism. What's the connection between these two Judaism? What's the connection, Shema Israel, Yom Kippur, the Jews give their life for the Torah? Everything was garnished. Everything was a waste of time. Why? We found one snake with scales. What's the connection? The answer is it will be the first mistake in the Torah. The Torah cannot have mistake, can never have mistake. One mistake, it shows it's not from God, it's over. It's amazing, what a risk here. So what does the Torah say? Everything that have scales, for sure have fins. Some things have fins but don't have scales, like shark, dolphin, smooth body, no problem. They have fins, but they don't have scales. But if you found scales, for sure it's kosher. The second sign is there. So what happens if a person, chas v'shalom, is in a hospital Or he goes to Chinatown, he wants to buy fish. And he sees only half a fish. He doesn't see the fins. He only sees the head and a little bit more, and he sees scales. He doesn't see fins. Can he buy it or no? He can buy it. Why? The Torah says if there are scales, don't worry. It had fins, guarantee. You understand? Now let me tell you something you may not know. When the Torah was given 3,324 years ago, half of the things that we had in the ocean were not even exist. Every day, fish kind A and kind B mix together and create a new species. Scientists all over the world, genetically, they mix between different species and they're throwing them back into the ocean for different reasons. When the Torah was given to the Jews, first of all, there's no person who can watch 72% of the world and see trillions of things are moving simultaneously all over the world and write in a book. You will never find this one. You'll never find. How do you know? How can you watch the entire world in the same moment when you write it? How do you know? Maybe he was here, he moved to there, he moved to here, he moved to there. How do you know? You have to watch the entire world. You know a person can watch the entire world, can see all side, inside the oceans, everything that moves, and say, I promise you, there's not even one. And not only that, half of the things that were exist in his generation, half of the things that he had, the Torah we have today in the world, did not even exist there. So if we had, for instance, 1 billion species all together, now we have 2 billion. And he's talking about everything that comes later, that was not in the world in his time. Even today, if a scientist in Florida or in Eilat, he takes two different kinds of fish and mix between them, and it came out with scales but without fins, that will be the end of everything. Why? The oral Torah. Remember, the oral Torah. Torah Shebe'al Peh say you will never find such a thing. Never, ever. That's an example that a person can never write the Torah. I'm skipping the next one, which is very interesting about the animals. Also have two signs. You can see it in a DVD. I want to show this one, which is very important. About, I'm also skipping the earth and the Zohar. Certain things, you see it in a video. And I want to show you another part from the Gemara, from the Torah. Here, chapter Brachot, Masechet Brachot, page 32. After the destruction of the second temple, the Torah says, the Knesset Israel, the Chachamim, came to Hashem and said, Dear God, why are you so angry at us? You destroyed the second temple. Even a person get divorced and get remarried, he still remember his first wife and her mother even more. He never forget. You come to Mr. Moshe. Do you remember that 20 years ago you had a wife, Miriam? Me? No, I don't remember. You ever see such thing? Well, of course, how can I forget her? That's what he said, no? So the Chachamim came to Hashem and said, Dear God, you completely forgot about us? You don't have any mercy on us? What's happening? This is the answer of God. Listen good. It says like this, My daughter, Biti, this is in the oral Torah, oral, not written Torah. And this was written in a Talmud close to 2,000 years ago. Remember, until this generation, until Galileo Galilei, everyone thought there's between 6,000 to 8,000 stars in the world. Nobody could dream that there's more than 8,000 because people were standing on mountains and counting. There's no telescopes. So people were counting the stars. How many stars you can see? 8,000 the most. And we didn't have NASA. We didn't have ways to count computer and take pictures of the galaxy. Nobody knew anything. This is 2,000 years ago. This is what God said. God says like this, My daughter, 12 sections I created in heaven, and in each heaven I created 30 army, and in each army I created 30 legion, and in each legion I created 30 raton, in each raton I created 30 karaton, in each karaton I created 30 gistera. In each gistera I hung 365,000 multiplied by 10,000 stars. And all of that I created for you. For you, for who for you? For the Jews, for the nation of Israel. And you have the nerve to ask me that I forgot about you and neglected you? You have the nerve to tell me that I forgot about you, my children? Everything you see, all the galaxies, billions, trillions of stars, each one of them is 1,000 times bigger than Earth, 500 times bigger. They're all moving, all the galaxies. Everything I made for you. Now you may say, God, instead of giving me all the stars, give me $1 for each one. I'd be more than happy. What do I need? Trillions of stars. What does it help me? One verse in the Torah. What does it say in the Tanakh? S'u marom enechem ur'u mi bara ele. Please raise your eyes to the sky and think, who created this humongous, amazing creation? And then what? Then you think, he is my father, and he chose me from 7 billion people to be his represented here. And he told me, keep Shabbat, that I can pay you eternity in the afterlife. Put tefillin every day. Say Shema Yisrael every day. Put mezuzah. Make brit milah. Eat kosher. Don't eat chametz on Pesach. Don't speak lashon hara. Be generous. Be honest. Watch your eyes. Be a good husband. Be a good father. He gave me a list of instructions. The more I listen to him, the more eternity is going to pay me. Now it's the time, maybe I'll make a 1 minute stop here. Tomorrow night, unfortunately, 70% of the Jews in the world do not even know what tomorrow night means. Most of the Israelis in Israel, I told you, can be wonderful people, but they have no idea what Judaism is. They're gonna go to Tiberias in the Kinneret, they make tents, they play sheshbesh, they smoke cigarettes, they go half naked in the water, they barbecue. They don't know it's the judgment day, Rosh Hashanah. They don't know it's the birthday of Adam. It's the birthday of Adam HaRishon. That's why Hashem makes the judgment for the entire universe. Even the goyim are being judged. I have goyim that listen to my lecture from all over the world. They're writing, what should I do in the judgment day? They ask me, the goyim. I'm judged also. I want to know what to do. Should I read Psalms? Should I read Psalms, they say? The goyim ask. Most Jews do not know what does it mean, Rosh Hashanah. They don't understand what the month of Elul is, what Yom Kippur is. They don't understand. So that's an opportunity. I'm sure over here people understand much more, but we all need to wake up a little more. So tomorrow, remember, there's only one day left for this year. Now it's an opportunity for people who had doubts if the Torah is real, if the Gemara is real, to understand one thing, what Hashem says in the Torah. That's enough. You don't need more than that. The Torah says like this. If you take all the pleasure of all the people, of all the generations, from the creation of the world until the end of the world, which is hundreds of billions of people all together, from Adam until the end of the world. Take all the pleasure that they had, money, vacations, women, jewelry, food, whatever you want. Add everything to a huge mountain of pleasure. Will not be equal to 1 hour of the pleasure of a Jew that listens to Hashem, tzaddik, righteous, in the afterlife. And there, it's for eternity. For billions of years, it's not even the beginning. 1 hour of us, if we listen to Hashem, we keep Shabbat 100% like the law, and we keep charity and kosher and all the things that the Torah say, it's not that much to do, believe me. It's not so difficult. If we keep it according to the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, 1 hour in the afterlife is better than everything we're dreaming about. Everything in the whole people, in the whole world. Where does it say it? Yafa sha'a achat shel korat ruach ba'olam haba mikol chaye ha'olam hazeh. 1 hour of pleasure and satisfaction in the afterlife is greater than this entire world combined. Everything. How much we going to run, 70, 80 years, money, kavod, this, it's nothing compared to how much we're going to get if we listen to God and represent Him according to the Torah as the Jews, as the children of God. So each one of us should make a cheshbon nefesh, should evaluate our life. What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? Everyone needs improvement. I'm the first one. I didn't come to talk to you, I'm a tzaddik and all of you needs improvement. We speak for everyone together. Each one of us needs a wake-up call. It's very beautiful. We ate. We met friends. Now we're going to do slichot. Slichot is not a choir to come to sing and go home. It's to wake up and think, Hashem, standing in front of you, I'm embarrassed. Forget about fear, punishment, all these things. I'm not even talking about this. I'm talking, Hashem, how can I be ungrateful to you? You give me so much. You did so much for me. Everything I have came from you. And in the end, I won't listen to you. Help me to get closer to you. And now, just with your permission, give me exactly 2 minutes on the clock to show you the last proof for tonight. I kept the best for the end, and then we'll start Bezrat Hashem right away, the Slichot. This is it. The renewal of the moon, the renewal of the moon, obviously nobody could know the renewal of the moon until we came with serious computers and all kinds of spaceships that can measure it. This is what the Torah says. According to Christianity, they go by the year of the sun, 365 days. The Muslims, they go by the year of the moon, 354 days. There's 11 days and a little bit gap. Every 3 years, it's become a month gap. So the Ramadan, since they go on a short year, every few years it moves from the summer to the winter, summer, winter, no problem. Christianity has a problem with the calendar. Every 4 years, they add February 29th. Because February, it's only 28 days. So every 4 years, they add one more day to balance the difference. In the Torah, we have a very serious problem. What is the problem? Hashem said to Moshe, the Jews have to keep the holiday of the spring, Pesach, Passover. Must be always falling on the spring, around April, when it's beautiful weather in Israel. How are you going to keep Pesach always in the same time when there's 11 days gap? So the Oral Torah, remember the Oral Torah, it's right here in English. The Oral Torah, this is what it says. And that time God gave to Moshe all the laws of the moon and informed him how to make leap year. Every 2 to 3 years, there's a year with 13 months. Adar Aleph, Adar Bet. When to add an extra month to the year. It was done all manually. There was no calendar yet, remember. Calendar is only 1,700 years old. We are talking 3,300 years ago. So it says, the Torah say, observe the month of the spring. That's why Hashem showed Moshe how to play with the calendar between the sun and the moon, that Pesach will always be in the spring. Why? If Pesach will fall in the winter, there will be the end of Judaism. Because the Torah called Pesach the holiday of the spring. Holiday of the spring in the middle of December. It's going to be a mistake. Listen good. One time, there was no calendar. How did we know where the Jewish month begins? Witnesses have to come to the Beit Din and say, we saw now the renewal of the moon. The rabbi is informed on Shabbat in a synagogue, we're expecting Rosh Chodesh to be around Wednesday, around 5 p.m. So all the people were standing on the mountains, and when they see the moon disappear for a few seconds and start again, they run to the Beit Din. We see, we just saw the renewal of the moon. Why they run to the Beit Din? Because all the Chachamim of the generation, the biggest rabbi, were making a meal in the Beit Din. So they wanted to eat with all the Chachamim. So only the ones who come to testify permitted in. That's how it was. 200 witnesses came. Rabban Gamliel, the president of Israel, was sitting inside. They told him, Rabbi, we just saw the renewal of the moon. He told them, all of you are wrong. He's sitting inside the building. All of them came from the mountains. He told them, all of you are wrong. I said, Rabbi, we are many witnesses. How can it be all of us are wrong? You're sitting inside. We came from the streets. He told them like this. Listen good. It's going to shock you, but you remember it forever. This is what his answer was. He said to them, this is how we receive it from Mount Sinai. The renewal of the moon can never be less than 29 days and a half. And 2/3 of the hour and 73 parts of the minute. If you calculate it, this is what we get. 29.530588. And this is the number of the Torah, 29.530590. This is a research of NASA. NASA, this is an original copy, Earth-Moon system, with billions of dollars investment and many years of research. NASA came to almost the same number of the Torah. 2/10,000 of a second different. Take 1 second, cut it to 10,000 pieces. Take two of them out, that's the difference between NASA to what the primitive Torah from 3,300 years ago. And the Germans always are more precise than the Americans. So the Germans in 1965, this is the original copy of German This is what they wrote. The German wrote 29.530589. 1/10,000 of a second difference. For those of you who thought the Gemara is not from God, I hope you change your mind. I think it's obvious. People could not know this information 3,300 years ago. This is 6 digits after the decimal point. When I was a kid, when I did something in a calculator, every 2 minutes it shows error, E. The calculator could not take. You put 10,000 multiplied by 21,000, E, already. You couldn't count, you couldn't calculate, you couldn't do all these things. We didn't have the equipment to measure to 6 decimal point after the point. And the Torah say, the renewal of the moon will never be less. Thousands of different cycles will never be less than this precise number. And the Germans and the Americans confirm 100% the Torah was right. So Bezrat Hashem, I'm sorry that I have to rush. We started late and now we have to go into the next part of the night. But I first want to thank again for all the wonderful people who promoted that. I hope, I was here a few years ago for a more private event. But Bezrat Hashem, I hope to be here. I have many, many topics. In my website, you have more than 1,000 different topics. So we can speak about. I encourage everyone to go into my website, divineinformation.com. You can download the lectures free of charge. There's CDs. If there's any left outside, please take free CDs. Anyone who has questions, advice, all kinds of things, you can call me at any time. I answer phone calls and emails. Thank you very much. Shana Tova to everyone.
The Bani family.
Thank.
I want to thank very much for the Bani family. I want to thank the Hajibai family. And also very much for the great evening that we had. And the evening was the Ilui Nishmat.
You know that number, 29,495, is the average, is a mean lunation. So it can be less and it can be more, but that's the average.
I think the language of the Gemara is En Chidusha Shabbat Pchuta.